Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 239 of Nerd Pride Radio. 239 pounds was the reported weight of Donald Trump in January of 2018, as reported by now-disgraced White House doctor Admiral Ronnie Jackson. Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate you saving me all that grueling research. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
Oh my God, Aiden's back!
I'm alive!
I'm awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I
that with. I'm here to fill for him.
Exactly. Now I've lost my place. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week. Can you guys, is there more emphasis to it when I point at the screen with both hands like this? Does that make you feel better? This is great radio. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place we go every week to have run about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in our skulls anymore. Our sponsor this week, Viridian Dynamics. Viridian Dynamics. Every day, something they make makes your life better. Power? They make that. Technology? They make that. Cows? Well, no, they don't make cows, although they have made a sheep. And medicines, and airplane engines, and whatever they keep in those hangars out back, and all sorts of things. Viridian Dynamics, every day, something they make makes your life better, usually. All right, before we start.
Ah, the one thing I don't miss.
Yeah, you know what? When you weren't here last week, Noah had the same reaction. Kids complain a lot.
But it hurts! It's loud!
Hold on. I have a bit here. That's right. It's time for a little feedback. Okay. Oh my gosh. I got feedback while playing a game of Pathfinder this week. Yeah, that's right. Last week, I mentioned Better Off Ted, which is where the Viridian Dynamics ad came from. I just ripped it off wholesale from them. Thursday, while we're playing Pathfinder, Talvin, who plays Pathfinder with me, actually thanked me for mentioning Better Off Ted, said he watched it with his wife, and they really liked it. So, see, you guys, there. Proof that people who followed my advice live happier lives. All right, I'm just saying. But you know what? It's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and Aiden where we talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy...
Interesting.
United States of America. That's right. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy weeks, I add it to our master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
If I have to enunciate the entire show, this is going to go very slowly. But anything's better than getting made fun of by you. So, first up, it's the gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, our gaming table, we're here to share it with you. Okay, we've actually each got a gaming table item this week. So, oh yeah, by the way, Aiden hasn't been around for a month, on the podcast. And so I didn't expect him this week. And so I prepared a crap ton of stuff, like, Like, I actually decided that, you know what, I'm going to get off my ass, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to do my research, I'm going to get it all outlined and have everything ready, so I have a full podcast lined up. And then, who walks in the door? Aiden, he's back from the ocean. All right. And so...
Weren't you telling them I went?
Just wait, we'll get to that. That's coming. So, anyway, he's here, and I said, dude, I have so much stuff. And he said, keep it. Keep all of it. And here's the stuff I want to add. So, we're going to do it all. Yeah, you lucky dogs. So, anyway, while I was gaming this week, playing that Pathfinder game with Talvin and, you know, all the rest, and last time we played, we had a couple people die, and now we've brought them back. And it was a very sobering experience that we were just very lucky that we were in a position where we could actually bring people back, because one of the people who died was our cleric, who's, well, she's someone who's really good at bringing people back. The rest of us, not so much, but we were very lucky that we didn't lose anybody permanently. And so I got to thinking about having people die, and in the course of it, my character Dothan, who was normally very lighthearted and carefree, she got slapped with a feeble mind spell or something very similar to that, because suddenly all of my mental stats reduced to 3, and I was just sitting on the floor drooling pretty much for a few rounds. And also took a huge hit and almost died myself. And it was a very sobering experience for Dothan as a character to realize that, oh, you know what? Maybe we aren't playing. Maybe these are real life and death stakes here. Maybe there are real consequences for what we're doing. And so I had some fun this week role-playing that angst and getting her to... Basically, she's just being very sullen and very... she's got some stuff that she needs to work through. And so it was interesting for me because when I first started playing Dothan, when I first started playing in this campaign, I put a lot of work into her backstory. I put a lot of work into personality quirks and some things that she had to work through and figure out. And then the problem is this game has been going on for over 4 years now, almost 4 years now. Anyway, we've been going on so long that I've worked through most of that, you know. In the beginning she was, you know, alternatingly sullen and flighty and very ADHD, but she's worked through a lot of that and she's grown up a lot. There was some tension and budding romance with her girlfriend, Oshar, but we've gotten through that, and there's like sort of a resolution right now, but you know, the whole girlfriend thing is so far away that, you know, we've traveled thousands of miles to go save the world, and so, you know, there's nothing going on with that. There was a plot with her uncle and his mystery illness, but, you know, we've pretty much got the cure in hand, and it looks like everything's working out. So, you know, I guess the problem I was having is that I was having a tough time finding personal motivation for her. I mean, like, I know we need to save the world. Yeah, I got that. But how does she feel about all this other than just, you know, being me going through the motions of saving the world? And so what I learned was, yeah, it's awesome to give your character all this backstory and all these plot hooks and all these things they need to work on, but you also have to be prepared to keep that fresh. You have to be, you know, you can't expect, especially in a big game where you've got lots of players out there, you can't expect the game master, the dungeon master, to provide everything for you, to be able to give you all the pieces of story that you need to, you know, you have to be willing to contribute and build some of that yourself and figure out your own reactions to stuff. And so, now I've given her a new little bit of drama, just a new little, you know, ongoing thing. And I realized, oh God, it felt so good to, you know, inject some of her emotions, positive and negative, into a situation and then work through them. Like, that's what I've been missing for a little while in this game, and oh hey, all of a sudden it's back and it feels really good. So that was my little lesson I learned, is that you got to keep working at it, like any good relationship. There you go. So you had gaming stuff?
Yeah, let me tell you about Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Smash Bros. There's a new Smash Bros. Coming out?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Or it's already out?
No, it's coming out in December.
Oh, that's months away. We got time.
See, now here's the thing. From Smash Bros. 1 to now, they have been adding and removing characters as they see fit.
Okay, this is a video game, right?
Yes.
So, I'm kidding. I know what anyway. Smash Bros. Is. For those of you who don't know, Smash Bros. Is a Nintendo-owned video game that has gone through how many versions of Smash Bros. Are there now? 8?
This will be 6.
6? I would have thought we were up to 7 or 8.
No.
Either way. But Smash Bros. Is basically as many different famous video game characters as they can possibly get, all smashed together into
usually one, Nintendo properties.
Yeah, mostly Nintendo properties or stuff that has, anyway, whoever they can get their hands on anymore. And then these people are thrown in, these characters are thrown into an arena for head-to-head fighting, and that's it. And it's a lot of fun. So anyway, Smash Bros. Ultimate.
So, throughout the Smash Bros. Game line, they have been adding and removing characters, but the big announcement at E3 for Smash Bros. Started showing off some characters, some familiar faces from games that were removed, and but then big letters on the screen said, everyone's here. Literally, every character from any Smash Bros. Game is in this one, bringing the fighter count to over 80.
Uh-huh. Plus some new ones that have not been seen before.
And then they added 2 more at E3.
Okay.
A couple days ago, they came out with another press release adding another 5 or 6.
Nice.
And also saying that they're not done adding more.
Okay. Of the new ones that they've added, who are you most excited about?
Either Corrupted Samus or Simon Belmont.
Oh, speaking of punching Nazis.
No.
Isn't he Castlevania?
You're thinking Wolfenstein.
I'm thinking Wolfenstein. I never played either one. Never mind.
You good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Thought he was a Nazi puncher.
They also added King K. Rool from Donkey Kong.
Yeah, you know, alright. Here's my problem with King K. Rool. I get that he was the big bad guy in Donkey Kong Country, the first one, but to me, he was never more than a discount version of Bowser. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like a big reptile.
I'm pretty sure he's just an echo of either Bowser or Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
If you know, an echo
no,
is...
No, I don't have any idea
an
what
An echo that. Fighter is a fighter in Smash Bros. Who has a very similar or identical moveset to another.
Oh.
But just different stats.
I can believe that. Yeah. Because King K. Rool, look, I mean, I like Donkey Kong Country. I like Donkey Kong. I never was a fan of King K. Rool. I always thought he was just silly. But mm-hmm. That's just me. That's...
I mean, everyone else has got their villains. I mean, Kirby has Dedede and Meta Knight, who are sort of villains. I mean, Kirby doesn't really have any long-lasting villains, because he either consumes or murders them.
No. You know who Donkey Kong's villain is?
Hmm.
His primary villain? Mario.
No.
Yeah, Mario. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Mario.
I'm not going to get into the Donkey Kong lineage with you, because the Donkey Kong that actually had beef with Mario is actually the current Donkey Kong's grandfather, but I can't get into that right now.
Yeah, he's the old one from Donkey Kong Country, but that's not the point. The point is that Chewbacca ate people, dude.
Yeah.
He ate people.
Can I get back to what I was saying?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It just, and as well as all these characters who need to have their own models, their own movesets, there's over 300 playable stages.
Seriously?
Yeah. 900 tracks of music.
Okay.
How do we go from a little 8-bit man who barely had 20 frames a second to this?
Nice.
It just amazes me to see how far things have come in 30 years.
And there's a chance that you might buy this game when it comes out? Is that what you're saying?
If by chance you mean 100% chance, then yes.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yes.
Okay.
It's astounding. And my question is, can they even make another one after this?
Well, again, there's always new video game characters. There's always old video game characters that have never been allowed into Smash Brothers before, but that we could certainly acquire. Jacob, actually, I'm sitting here acting all ignorant as if I haven't heard anything
yeah.
about it, but Jacob just texted me yesterday and said, oh my god, I think Geno might be in this one.
Geno is Jacob's favorite character from anything ever.
Right. Yeah, and Geno only appeared in the Super Mario RPG game for Nintendo 64, I think. And it was, Gino was, I don't know, was he like a puppet who had a gun?
He was a puppet that was a gun.
Yeah.
His arms were cannons.
Yeah. And
he was really edgy too.
King K. Rool, Simon Belmont, some of these are corrupted Samus. I don't care as much about any of those. I'm not a huge Smash Brothers fan anyway. I mean, I've played and I enjoy it. But it's not like I'm super into it. But, Gino, I'm actually really excited about that one. Not as much as Jacob, but, dude, I loved Super Mario RPG. I thought that thing was the bomb.
Oh, really? You like Super Mario RPG? Did you ever beat the secret boss?
There was a secret boss?
I'm gatekeeping.
Oh, okay. But, oh, thank God you're here. God, no. I almost got into the nerd store. Okay.
But no, there is a secret boss who doesn't look like a Mario property.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's a full-size demon riding a cloud of black lightning. He looks like an actual Final Fantasy boss.
Yeah, I got to that. Yeah, no, Super Mario RPG was problematic in several ways. It was not on theme for Mario in a lot of ways.
But it didn't need to be.
Well, no, but it was weird. I mean, the introduction of Gino was, while cool, Gino was very out of place in that. Mallow was a much more interesting addition. I liked Mallow.
What, the cloud egg?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked Mallow, but Mallow never got any development beyond that game, which is too bad because
he's just the generic, like, Koopa sidekick from any given Paper Mario game.
Oh. You're terrible.
That's literally just all he does.
No!
He's the Chipper Koopa friend.
No, he's a wizard.
I know he's not a Koopa, but...
He's a... Oh, alright, fine. That's not mine. I have a server right here.
Grab my drink?
Sorry about that, dude.
You actually had to go out of your way to get it, though. It was all the way across the table.
Yeah, look, this is radio. The people can't see the layout of the table. There's no point in dwelling on what I did or did not grab. I don't know why you're doing this. hey, look, it's time to move on. We got some science corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now.
Down by the bay.
What?
Down by the bay.
Down by the bay.
Where the watermelon grows.
Where the watermelon grows.
Back to my home.
Back to my home.
I dare not go.
I dare not go.
For if I do. My mother will say. Some crazy shit, man. Like, I'm pretty sure she has dementia at this point. Cause I get home and she starts talking about, like, llamas wearing pajamas or some shit. And, like... I want to help her, and I, like, want to, like, put her in a home, but I don't have the money, and I feel like it's not even my mother anymore. Man, I just don't know what to do.
That music means you might be in danger of learning something. That was pretty good. It's the science corner. God, you've ruined it now. Look, NASA's working on making things super cold. How does that follow your story? I don't... God darn it. I can't... All right, back on task. I have two sciences today for my science corner. Yeah, did you see that hand gesture? Two. Yeah, that's right. And I flipped it. That's right, because hand gestures are super valuable on this podcast. Here's the thing. They've gotten down to the coldest temperature ever recorded, again, because they keep getting colder and colder.
What is it now?
About 1/1,000,000th of a degree above absolute zero.
That's not bad.
Right. And the reason NASA had to do it, they had to do it on the International Space Station, because otherwise, gravity interferes with their process for removing heat, and, they can't get cold enough on Earth, so they had to do it in space.
Isn't it impossible to reach zero Kelvin completely?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you brought that up. It is. That's the next thing I'm going to talk about. Do you know why?
Because you'd have to remove all energy and matter from the area.
Right, well, why can't you do that?
Because having a perfect vacuum with background radiation is physically impossible.
Why? Aha. And here's the reason.
Quantum shit?
Yes. Yeah, quantum shit. The reason is because Heisenberg, not Walter White from Breaking Bad, the scientist Heisenberg.
I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, my God. Breaking Bad's so good. But Heisenberg, with his uncertainty principle, stated that you can't know exact position and exact motion at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Which also applies to lots of different dualities that, you know, if you change the units you're working with, position and motion become other factors. And if you were to remove all heat from something, you could bring it down to absolute zero, then at the moment it hits absolute zero, you now know that that piece of space has nothing in it. You know all the values of it with absolute certainty. And since that's impossible, it just can't be done. Which always amazes me that Heisenberg's uncertainty principle actually has physical effects that, again, that's the reason that black holes have to give off radiation is because, well, if they didn't give off radiation, then it would violate Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. So therefore they have to radiate. And people went, no, come on, that's stupid. And then they went and looked and went, holy shit, look, they're radiating. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And do you know another reason why, zero Kelvin is, nearly impossible? Well, actually physically impossible, but there are actually particles that exist. And these particles are extremely infuriating for exact sciences because these particles seemingly blip in and out of reality at random points.
Isn't that great? Yes.
So at one moment you could have a near-perfect vacuum, and suddenly there's three new particles
in
there.
And that's where the Hawking radiation off of black holes comes from, is that out of nowhere, you just spontaneously have a particle and an antiparticle just happen to appear out of nowhere, out of raw vacuum. You get the particle and its equal opposite antiparticle. And so thus, you haven't violated anything because by creating its positive and its anti, the particle and the antiparticle at the same time, the energy equals out, except that they create exactly on the event horizon of the black hole. So one gets sucked into the black hole and the other one shoots off into space. And thus, radiation. Weird.
It's just like, where do they go when they're not, when they stop existing?
Oh, because normally the particle and antiparticle, when they get generated, which happens all over in space all the time, when they get generated, usually they just immediately slam back into each other and collapse. They just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right, but to where?
To nothingness. It's as if it's literally.
But it violates.
No.
The laws of. I know it doesn't.
Imagine the fabric of space and time as a giant sheet. Okay? And what I do is I poke my hand up from underneath the sheet to form a big lump in the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At the same time that I'm doing that, my other hand pokes down from the top of the sheet to create an anti-lump, a hole that goes down the other direction. So, grand total, it's still equal to a flat surface because the amount that's deformed upwards matches the amount that's deformed downwards on the other side.
Right.
And so then, all of a sudden, they just kind of move into the same space. You just pull the sheet flat again,
like,
and they're gone.
It blows my mind that that doesn't violate the laws of conservation of matter.
Right, no. And in fact, not only does it not violate, it's required by the math. This kills me every time something that someone, especially when it's Einstein over 100 years ago, he writes stuff down on paper and says, well, if this is all true, then here's what must happen. And then it's not until 100 years later that we have the tools and technology to actually go look and go, holy crap, he was right. Again.
That how could he have been right?
Again.
He just mathematically predicted the universe.
Yeah. I mean, look, he didn't do it entirely by himself. He was standing on the on the shoulders of giants, as it were. There were a lot of people who came before him.
Man, it must be really
did.
Nice to see space from up there.
Oh, shit. But, yeah, the man was an absolute genius, and he had insights based on those earlier works that are just stunning, even to this day. So, anyway, that's number one, is NASA's making stuff cold.
Wow, what a way to devalue an entire scientific discovery.
Right. The other thing, in practical terms, as you're trying to make things colder, the same way that relativity determines that the faster you go, it changes the rate of passage of time, it changes your mm-hmm. density, it changes your... Okay, very similarly, when you're making things colder, it takes more energy to remove heat the colder it already is. So if you follow the math, ultimately to take out that last billionth of a degree, to get anything to absolute zero would require infinite energy applied to removing heat mm-hmm. from that. So once we get infinite energy, we can hit absolute zero. So
perpetual motion machine.
That's all it takes. All right.
Oh, it's really quiet there for a second.
So the other one that I have is... All right, Mark Rober is a YouTuber who, yeah, Mark Rober's cool. But he did a bit called, it was like 68 cents science that saves billions of lives, something like this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And
I'm talking about the blood centrifuges?
Yeah.
I told you about this.
Yeah, you did. And so it happened to pop up in my feed on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, God, that's right, I remember this one. And so here's the deal, is that... Some scientists were working on how to detect malaria in countries where malaria is a problem. And the problem that they've always had is that, you know, you need a blood centrifuge and a microscope in order to be able to detect the malaria. The centrifuge, basically you spin the blood and it separates out, and malaria is at such a density that, because if you're just looking at blood in general, you're not going to spot malaria.
So you gotta separate the plasma
right,
from the other.
Right, you're not gonna spot the malaria amongst all the other cells there. But when you spin it and you get all the cells stratified by density, then what happens is malaria happens to be the exact density that if you look in your little stratified tube after you've spun it in the centrifuge, you look at right where it goes from red to clear, the malaria live right on that border. So it's really easy to spot them because you just sent your microscope down and you look at, okay, here's red, here's red, here's red. Oh, okay, it's not red anymore. So right there on that line, nope, no malaria, you must be clear. It's really easy to spot at that point. But microscopes and centrifuges are expensive and hard to get to places. And so this one dude, Manu Prakash is his name. And he is a scientist who was originally born in India, working in the States, and... he came up with a microscope that you can make out of cardboard. It's literally, you just fold this microscope out of cardboard, like origami, you have a microscope box, and then you just insert a glass bead into the little eyepiece, and Mark Rober on his video is showing, okay, here's how you put it together. Great. Now you put the little slide in there with the blood on it, and then just using his camera, he just holds his smartphone camera over that little glass bead, and holy shit, you're getting videos on his phone of bacteria swimming around. They ultimately did check his blood, and there was no malaria in his blood. But they, you know, looked at some pond water and they saw all sorts of stuff just using this little and 50-cent microscope. That's all this thing costs, 50 cents, and you were getting these amazing views. And so now the only problem now was how to get a centrifuge to spin out the blood. And it turns out that they, if you've seen it, God, go watch this video. Another Indian scientist invented this one, and it's just a little cardboard disc with a couple of strings passed through it.
And you just pull it back and forth and it spins, yeah, apparently like, fast enough to
right,
diffuse
when you,
blood.
When you pull on the strings, it's just like a kid's toy, the little spinner kid's toys that have, you got a handle on each side. And
I'm sorry, most of your listeners weren't born in the 60s. They won't know about.
That they know. Go look it up. Jeez, people. But yeah, and this thing costs 18 cents. So for 18 cents, you put the two little glass tubes with blood in it, and then you just spin the thing up, and it takes about a minute, and that thing spins at thousands of times per second. Boom, you're done. And now you pop it under the little glass bead origami microscope, and for 68 cents, you have a full kit for testing for malaria. For 68 cents, you have a full kit that weighs about an ounce, you know, maybe two. And You can carry hundreds of these out into the field. You can check all sorts of people. It's amazing. So, now, that was the amazing part, but to me, and the reason I even wrote this down, because I watch lots of science and math stuff online all the time, but the reason this one caught my eye so much is these two guys, Manu and I can't remember the other guy's name, I didn't write it down, but both of these dudes who did these inventions, watch them talk about their stuff, watch them describe it, and the joy in their faces just to be doing science and learning things and just to be people learning about and interacting with the world and helping people. It was just, God, they were so happy. I'm like, that's the way science should be. Oh, science should be this happy, positive, thing. And I know, 99% of science is also tedious slogging through, sorting through slides and data and whatever else is going on. But this joy that they were showing, this joy in sharing what they knew and what they've been working on, it was just infectious. It was really cool. So anyway, that was my science corner. So, So we're going to do all of it. I forgot to tell you about this one, because it's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close.
At least when the mic is on.
At least when the microphone's on. I thought I hit it. You watched me hit it. Also from YouTube, Matt Baum has a YouTube channel, and one of the things that he does is what he calls his culture cruise, where he goes back through old TV shows and talks about their relevance to the LGBTQ plus community. LGBTQIA plus? Anyway, LGBTQ plus. Let's just do that. The queer community. It's just really interesting stuff. I love watching because he'll show the first appearance of gay characters in this sort of context, or how different shows dealt with it. How Golden Girls was actually very progressive on gay issues, etc., etc. But the one that he talked about in this particular video I was watching was Mary Tyler Moore, and I was not aware of this, but in 1973, when this episode aired, Mary Tyler Moore started, I believe, in 1970, the year I was born. In 1973, when this episode aired, in a majority of states in this country, it was still illegal to be gay. Like, you could, like, literally, you could be arrested for being gay, and people were still being arrested for being gay in the majority of states in the country in 1973. And so this is the context in which this episode aired. Now, Mary Tyler Moore, if you're not familiar with it, the Mary Tyler Moore Show is actually about the character who is Mary Richards, played by Mary Tyler Moore, and she is a working girl in the big city. She works at a news station, and her best friend Rhoda, is played by Valerie Harper, is very loud and brash she's just a very forward New York kind of woman, and she's very cool. She's Mary's best friend. And then there was also Phyllis. And Phyllis was played by Cloris Leachman, who is one of the funniest women to ever live. Cloris Leachman is spectacular no matter where she is, and she was really funny as Phyllis. So, all right, in this context, and Phyllis can't stand Rhoda. That's part of the joke for this episode. Phyllis introduces her brother Ben to Mary and says, God, the two of you have so much in common. I think you would really hit it off. And neither one of them are interested at all in dating one another, being set up like this. But because Phyllis is so pushy, all right, they're going to go ahead and go along with it. Fine. They'll go out and there's just no chemistry. Nothing happens and no big deal. But Ben winds up meeting Rhoda, and Ben and Rhoda just get along. They have a lot in common. They go out and do some shopping together. They hang out. They go to some events. And Phyllis starts to panic. Phyllis starts to panic because, oh my God, my brother cannot wind up with Rhoda. That is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And so here they are at a big dinner party, and Rhoda's making a joke because she realizes how upset Phyllis is and how much this bothers her. And so Rhoda makes a joke about, hey, you know, we were even talking about getting married maybe. And Phyllis just loses her shit. All right, Phyllis is crying, bawling at the top of her lungs in the middle of this party because she's afraid that her brother is going to wind up with Rhoda, of all people. And so Rhoda goes over and talks to her and says, yeah, look, no, Ben's a great guy. I love Ben. He's awesome, but he's not my type. And Phyllis then freaks and says, what do you mean not your type? He's successful. He's talented. He's funny, blah, 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 blah. And Rhoda says, yeah, and he's gay. Now, this is the capper for the episode, is that Phyllis's response to finding out that her brother is gay in this context is, oh, thank God. Because the punchline is not that he's a gay guy. That's not the joke. The joke isn't gay people are funny. No, the joke is Phyllis is the kind of person who she's just thankful that, oh, he's just gay, that's all? Oh, thank God, I thought he was going to end up with Rhoda. That was the joke. And very funny. And then they cut away to commercial, and then they come back for that final scene that sitcoms always have. And the final scene is just Mary and Rhoda and Phyllis and Ben all just hanging out at the apartment, having some dinner, playing the piano, just talking. And they end on some stupid joke, sure. But Matt Baum, in his YouTube video, points out how revolutionary this was, because it was the first time that the word gay had ever been used to refer to a gay person on network television. Again, in a society where homosexuality was still illegal almost everywhere, and in a world where there were only 3 TV networks, so literally 25% of the United States was sitting down and watching this episode when it aired. And they made the joke about it, but essentially just treated the gay guy as if he were just a person, which obviously is the whole point. But that he's just a character. He's just a character on a TV show. The fact that he was gay was only to explain why he wasn't interested in either of these women for a relationship. That's all. It wasn't, he wasn't campy. There was no behavioral, physical indication. You know, they didn't play it up like you would have seen in any other movie or TV show of the day where being gay was played off for laughs or being played off as the villain he was just a dude. And I was just floored by it. I just thought this was amazing. So, I highly recommend Matt Baum's YouTube channel if you're interested in this sort of thing, watching him talk about old TV shows and gay people. And it's really entertaining. It's a cool history lesson. Oh, I should have done this for history. Damn it, this episode aired 45 years ago. I should have done this as a history segment. Too late now. All right, you know what? You can get off your phone and start paying attention again.
Say something interesting.
Well, never mind. Because now it's time for... Jeez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
And boy, did they ever. All right, so how this section works is I go and watch about 4 crappy horror movies on Netflix. Sometimes they're not crappy, but usually they are. And then I rank them from descending order. And so top of the list for this week is The Descent. I really liked The Descent. It had, and again, I'm a sucker for horror movie monsters, so, spoiler alert for this whole segment. There are creatures that live in this cave that kill people, or animals, or whatever they can eat. But the story is that a bunch of cave spelunkers go out to do some spelunking, of course. I don't know where I was going with that sentence, but...
That's okay.
No, but, turns out that the cave they were going to that was mapped isn't the one they were actually going to, and a friend led them to a different one. One that wasn't mapped. And turns out that people had been here before, but had been murdered by the cave crawlers.
Is that what we're officially calling them, as cave crawlers?
That's the official name for them.
Okay, I've seen the movie. I saw it in the theater.
They're a sort of proto-human.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked this movie.
I really like that movie.
And it was never hopeless at any point. Someone got out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know if you know how I watch horror movies, but how I watch horror movies is I put on my Oculus so I am completely deprived of my senses except for what I'm seeing and hearing from the movie.
Okay.
So when I finished Descent, it was impossible to escape that it has a sequel.
Uh-huh.
And...
Is that the next movie you're reviewing?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
The Descent 2 is a good example of how a sequel can ruin the original.
Aw. Because I heard The Descent 2 picks up exactly where Descent 1 leaves off.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. But the thing is that it's near... You could interchange them and you'd never know. They're the same movie.
Ah.
Except... Once I'm watching the same movie again, it's like, oh, well, that's not scary. It's all a bunch of... It's all... I can't speak today. It's all a bunch of gore...
Yeah, if I find things interesting during the course of my busy, busy week...
It's all a bunch
of... But I wouldn't mock you. I'm a better person than that.
You done? It's all a bunch of gross out and... Like... Ugh, that's so gross, and... It just ruined it. It's just the same movie again.
That's a shame. Because, wow.
Sorry.
Noah's breaking dishes. That's a shame because I really liked The Descent. And
I did too.
I don't know if they did this.
But the sequel just points out all the flaws.
Okay. Does the Netflix version have the fake out ending for Descent?
Oh, where it's the...
Where she escapes and then...
Yeah. And then it's her dead friend who she murdered in the car with her.
I think so, yeah.
See, you know what's weird about that? That dead chick is alive in the second movie.
Okay.
Who she's somehow been living down in the caves for a couple weeks.
Uh-huh, and now she's a cave crawler. So anyway.
She knows more what she's doing than anyone else.
All right.
Next on my list is a movie simply entitled I, The Ritual.
Are you sure it's not three?
Roman numeral three.
Okay.
The Ritual.
Three. The Ritual. Is there a one and a two?
I don't know. It's in Russian.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a Russian language movie about a plague sweeping through a... Yeah? You good?
I'm sorry. I've got it playing in my head.
I.
Alright, go ahead. just go.
Anyway,
sorry.
But it's about a plague sweeping through a town.
Okay.
And the priest knows how to cure it when a girl's sister gets sick after they both lose their mother to it.
Okay.
And turns out that using shaman magic, you can dip into someone's self-conscious and rewrite their reality. That is an incredibly awesome concept.
Yeah. I'm like, you've walked into this as if this was a really crappy, crappy movie, and yet I'm digging that.
I was bored through the whole thing.
Oh. Is it because you didn't speak Russian?
No, it's that they didn't do anything with it.
Ah, that's a shame.
It's that it's supposed to be this massive nightmare world where anything can happen, and it's just mundane shit.
Apparently. Everyone's nightmare involves sitting in featureless rooms.
And then turns out that the priest just wants
you guys, again, it's radio, you couldn't see him shrug his shoulders and roll his eyes in frustration because, apparently, it might as well have been featureless rooms.
It might as well have been, but then it turns out that the priest is a bad guy and wants to start a sex cult with people in this dream realm.
Ew.
A twist out of nowhere that you could never have seen coming.
Ugh.
Cool concept, but really boring and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done so much with that.
Okay. I'll give you that.
And then we come to the kind of movie that's the bane of my existence.
What? Monster Trucks?
I love Monster Trucks.
I know you do. You weren't here last week, but I raved about Monster Trucks, and I promised everyone that we would watch Monster Trucks again.
I'd see it.
And I also promised that if we ever start a gaming convention, that, a full theater screening of Monster Trucks for the convention goers would be a requirement every single year.
But Bedeviled.
Okay, Bedeviled.
It is about an AI phone app that learns about you, learns your fears, and then scares you to death. It's not allowed to, like, straight up murder you. It literally scares you to death.
Isn't Bedeviled the one with Brendan Fraser in it? Brendan Fraser?
You're thinking of either The Mummy or Monkey Bone.
No. And I know it's not called Bedeviled, but it's the one that has, what's her name from the first Austin Powers movie? I can't think of anything. Well, you keep talking about this Bedeviled while I look up the movie I'm thinking of.
It's the classic more jump scare than creepiness. You know when all the jump scares are. It is a stereotypical modern horror movie aimed at teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is the quintessential, like, paragon of everything I hate about modern horror movies.
Aww.
It was predictable, it was pandering, it was just flat terrible.
That's a shame, because, yeah, I know that they want to do horror movies based on modern concepts,
mm-hmm.
that they're trying to do stuff with technology mm-hmm. worked into horror fashion. It Follows was a good one.
Yeah, you know, It Follows was great.
That was a great take on modern concepts and doing it, but yeah, it also means that if that works for one or two great movies, then you're going to get
mm-hmm.
a crap ton of crappy ones to round it out. All right, I'm sorry, I'm being distracted because I'm flipping through Brendan Fraser movies.
It all ends with, and again, I'm a sucker for a good horror movie villain.
Right.
And the movie was terrible, but I was loving Mr. Bedeviled, the villain,
mm-hmm.
until at the very last moment they actually showed him.
Oh.
He looked so stupid.
Ugh. I'm sorry, man. Oh, Elizabeth Hurley, that's who it was. Okay, Elizabeth Hurley and Brendan Fraser when Bedazzled. In which... Because in Bedazzled, Elizabeth Hurley plays the devil.
Oh.
The devil. That's her actual title.
Yeah, okay, I know.
So thus, when you said Bedeviled...
But it was a tall guy, pale skin, short cut, bow tie, and the only scary thing about him was he's constantly smiling and his eyeballs are sideways.
Gross.
It was so dumb. I would not wish a viewing of Bedeviled on my worst enemies.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was bad. As far as things you could wish on your worst enemies, sitting through a horrible movie is really kind of mild.
I would put it two steps above Hillary's America.
Wow. Okay, but so...
I hate it.
So it's not the worst thing you've ever seen.
No, but, you know, it's no arrival.
Yeah, that's... Okay. Point. Alright, nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, alright. Next up, word of mouth.
Is it your bread and butter, people?
Okay, you don't know... But yes, I say word of mouth, and then we pause here so that I can then insert the song Bread and Butter.
People.
Which will, yes, the Bread and Butter people. There's a good horror movie villain for you. The Bread and Butter people. Alright, now we're gonna shut up and let the music play. That's right, word of mouth, because you know what? Every week on this podcast, I go through my credits and I tell you guys that word of mouth is my bread and butter. There's lots of great material out there. A lot of content creators who don't make a whole lot of money doing what they do. And
like us!
Right. And so look, you can buy their merch. You can contribute to their Patreon. You can do all sorts of things to help them out. But also, one thing that you can do is spread the word. And I have a podcast to do exactly that. So, and this one is actually kind of selfish because this is, hey, we have a new podcast on the Nerd Pride Network. So, it is called...
We're finally a network again!
You know what? Just before last week's podcast, I finally took that out of the credits. Because I keep stumbling over it every single week. And so now I had to go back to an old one and pull it back up so I could put it back in. It's called Bicoastal Disorder. And Bicoastal Disorder is, two women, SBH, who is a licensed psychotherapist, and her best friend, Sawa, who together they discuss mental health issues and is bicoastal because one is East Coast and one is West Coast. They record by Skype. And I just listened to their first episode this week, and it was really good. And I'm not just saying that because they're in my network. Although I would just say it if it wasn't true, but it really is true. I don't know SBH, but I do know Sawa, and I've known her for a while, and I've told her many times that she should start her own podcast, and I'm glad she finally has, because this is really cool. So the two of them have great chemistry together. They've been best friends for years and years, and they are very funny, and at least this first episode, they got dirty a couple of times, but also in sharing mental health issues and concerns, they also got a little raw and very personal. And so there was highs and lows, and it was just a really entertaining episode. I am really looking forward to seeing what they produce coming up. So, unfortunately, right now, I can't even remember the app that I pulled that up in, because, when she first sent me the link and said, hey, we've got an episode, I went out to go look to see if there was a feed, that I could just subscribe to through my regular podcatcher here. And they didn't have it at the time, but I assume that's going to be fixed soon. And we'll get the forum set up with a bicoastal disorder forum so that the two of them can start making announcements when things are coming up and what they're doing and all of this. So it looks like they're going to produce episodes twice a month, I think, every 2 weeks. So however you phrase that, but every 2 weeks. So look forward to that. I will post up more information about it and keep you guys informed on where to find their episodes. So, bicoastal disorder. There you go. Now, get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. This is a rage I have done before, but apparently people don't listen, so I am going to have to say it again. All right? I am listening to the late-night hosts making fun of parents who are hiring Fortnite coaches for their kids.
Whoa, hold up. Whoa. Maybe they deserve to be made fun of. Are they playing for competition?
Yes.
Okay, then no, they don't deserve that.
Exactly. My whole point is, it's an easy thing to poke fun at. Because, hiring coaches for your kids to play video games? Okay, but again, it's competitive tournaments where the kids can earn prize money and especially earn scholarship money. And thus, there are some parents, they're making these jokes, but it's not like it's this huge rash of thousands of parents nationwide going, no, I'm sure this is a story of like one or two parents who've decided to pay for some coaching for their kids to help them earn money in Fortnite for school. But it's something that will become more common. If Fortnite is something that's going to pay, then they'll do that. And here's the thing, is that they make fun of it, but how is it that much different than paying all those money for football camps so that your kid can get better at football? Because, I mean, honestly, what's the whole point of being that competitive at football? It's because, what, because you want them to have their chance at the pros? Is it because you want them to earn scholarship money? What is the reason you're doing it? I mean, it's not that different, all right? The idea is, look, this is an activity that if my child is really good at it, it can get them stuff and it can get them ahead in life. And if they're going to start offering money for video games, they're going to start offering scholarships for video games, then yes, of course parents are going to get coaches for their kids. It makes perfect sense. All right. But then, and I had this one already written down, and then I went to seventh grade orientation for my Noah, who is a seventh grader now. And
stop growing up.
No!
The
I'll never stay six forever, Aiden.
The principal, God love him, this guy, he tries so hard. But he's giving a lecture, about phones in school and what, you know, computers in school and what's appropriate and what's not. And he gets to talking about YouTube, and he says, basically with this tone in his voice that he clearly does not understand what the world is coming to. when he says, yeah, apparently some of the kids will watch other kids play video games on YouTube. They'll sit and watch videos of people who play video games.
Listen,
I played Miss Pac-Man back in my day, but I never wanted to watch it.
Look, I'm just saying, of our football team, you played football, right?
Right.
So, but you'd never watch someone play football.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys could hear Noah in the background there, but yeah, that was exactly his story. Look, back in my day, I mean, I was happy to play a lot of Ms. Pac-Man, but I can't imagine sitting around watching other people play Ms. Pac-Man. That's ridiculous. And as Aiden said, that was my first thought, too, is, yeah, because you played a lot of football, but you can't imagine watching other people play football. That's just stupid. So, you know what?
You know what kind of upsets me even more about that? He takes an unhealthy amount of pride in the fact that he prefers Ms. Pac-Man over regular Pac-Man.
Now, hold on. Hold on. If that's his link to feminism,
Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man, then you know what? I'm going to give him that one. But here's the thing, and I get that he doesn't understand. The video game thing is just so alien, because to them, video games are just for kids. It's just stupid games. But imagine if you went back 150 years in this country, and you found people playing baseball or playing football, because lots of kids played baseball and football back then, but it wasn't quite so big that with the competition. I mean, there were no professional leagues. I don't believe the college competition over sports was so intense back in that time. But imagine talking to people back then and imagine explaining to them the need to hire coaches to make your kids better at games so that they can get ahead in life. That no. You need to start your kid when he's 7 or 8 years old. Get him into the football program. You need to start training him early because he's got to be good, because that's what's going to get him through college. That's what's going to pay for his education, is being really good at football. I can't imagine that pre-Civil War Americans they would find that just as ludicrous as, you're gonna teach your kid to be really good at video games? That's what you're gonna do? They're really equivalent. They really are. They're just games. They're just kids' games that have evolved into something bigger and something more important to the culture. And the fact that sports have been this universally important in America for so many decades makes people blind to the fact that, yeah, but they're still, it's people who are being paid to play what are essentially kids' games that have now been brought to a higher status in our culture.
I mean, there's an anime called Yu-Gi-Oh! Out there.
Yeah.
People got paid to voice act people playing a children's game.
So my point is, video games are just on their way to becoming that, and it just drives me nuts to see people complaining about it as if baseball and basketball and football are that much, are somehow superior games. Well, never mind. I'm not even going to get into it. I get it. Oh, yeah, but those at least involve physical activity. Yeah, and brain damage, but, just for the football. There's no link between baseball or basketball and brain damage that I'm aware of. But football for sure. So, anyway, that's my nerd rage. So,
can I tune back in now?
Yeah. Okay, I know we said we were going to do all of them, but do you really want to do uncomfortable topics?
Well, if we wait any longer, it'll be less relevant.
I suppose, but we're an hour in. You know what?
This is Aiden's triumphant return. It's
okay,
a special
episode. That's true. We'll just take it out of the Pod-O-Matic. That'll be fine. So, uncomfortable topics. These are just the kind of things that make you a little squeamish to talk about. Politics, religion, stuff that you don't want to share at the Thanksgiving table because you know it's going to turn into a fight. Speaking of fights, hey, a dude got assaulted at Gen Con, sorta. This was...
Wait.
What?
How do you get sort of assaulted?
No, it was sorta at Gen Con.
Oh.
So, I don't know if this is what was being alluded to last week during the listener betrayal segment. But I did mention that I had heard that someone got punched at Gen Con, but I didn't know the details. So I have since looked up the details. And here's what I get. It actually happened the day before the con started, and it happened at a local bar, not on convention property. I know the names of both dudes involved, but I'm not gonna say their names because
Like you know them personally, or?
No. I mean, like, I've read the stories.
Okay.
And I am aware of who they are, what their names are, and why they are relevant to the gaming community, but I'm not gonna mention either one of them because they're both bad dudes, and it's not worth it.
Now, is one of these dudes worse than the other?
Yes, but...
Wait, was he one of the one that got punched?
You know, maybe. It depends on how you look at it. There's a lot in the balance here. So, let me just get on. The attacker is absolutely a bad dude. Okay? The puncher had bragged to people ahead of time that, he was gonna go find some, you know, right-wing, trolls, these terrible people who are, you know, misogynistic and homophobic and who make other people feel unwelcome at events and that, you know, just trolls. And he said he was going to go find these trolls. And he said, if any of them try to come to Gen Con, if I see them, I'm going to beat the crap out of them. I mean, he talked about it ahead of time. He was looking for a fight. All right.
Wait. How big is this dude?
Doesn't matter.
Because if you're big enough, you can fight whoever you want.
Right. Look. And he very much takes his inspiration from the Antifa people, or Antifa. See, I always say Antifa in my head, but I've heard other people say Antifa. I don't know which way it goes.
That sounds more like a Queen Latifah, not
right.
Aunt.
Well, it's her
aunt. It's Antifa.
Antifa. It's short for anti-fascist. So, which is why I say Antifa. It's emphasis on the anti. So. Never mind. All right. So
what?
I was going back to your joke of Aunt Tifa. So anyway, he takes his inspiration from that where, yes, he's on more of the left side of things, the side that I am on, but he believes that the solution is violence. And I disagree with him on that. And he's a bad dude. He was, whatever his motivations are, whatever his politics are, he was a dude who set out to go beat people up. He set out to go punch people that he disagreed with because he disagrees with their politics. That was his plan. So
I'm not defending him, but so did Batman.
Okay. That's okay. And
so also, if you're rich enough, you could beat up whoever you want.
Yes, that's true. And if this guy had worn a Batman costume while doing it, I might have a different opinion here. But we'll never know, will we? So, please, nobody dress up as Batman to beat people up at the next con, because I don't need that added complication.
It's just gonna
please
be this
don't.
Giant, like, 100-man Batman brawl.
God.
The 100 Batmans just beating the crap out of each other.
So, the attacker, in my opinion, is absolutely a bad dude. He's a guy who advocates violence against people who disagree with you politically, and he set out to find people to beat up. All right, so that's him. The victim, though, without a doubt, the victim is a shit human being as well. All right, and possibly even more so. I'm not sure. Look, I had no clue what was going on when I talked last week. I just knew someone got punched, so I Googled it. All right, nine days after the incident, I Google it. I get all the facts right away, and I find out that this victim is a dude who is an absolute troll. He is misogynistic. He is a gatekeeper of the worst sort. He is just a toad, and has been permanently banned by Wizards of the Coast from attending any Magic the Gathering events because he's a frickin' troll, and he targets people, and he's one who he does not outright advocate violence necessarily, but he will provide you with personal information about people and say that something should be done about them. He will bad talk certain people. He'll trash talk them. And then within a week, that person is getting all of their social media is being completely trolled and bombed. Death threats are coming to their house. People know the names of their children and can make specific threats about rape and murder. And they're just terrible troll stuff. The way trolls do.
Now, I was wondering, when you said terrible troll, I was wondering if he was a really bad person who happened to be a troll, or he was just really bad at being a troll.
I don't know. He's just a troll. So, and a bad person. Those are the two things I know. So, knowing that this is the kind of person he is, yeah, the attacker recognized him, said, "Oh my God, are you?" and then named him, and then immediately jumped on him and started punching him in the back of the head, unprovoked. So, well, at least unprovoked physically or in that particular, anyway. Without provocation, he spots someone from the internet that he hates and starts punching him. Here's where I have a real problem with it. Now, look, some people are complaining because Gen Con hasn't taken a strong enough statement or hasn't done anything about it, but you know what? It was two guys who happened to be in town to attend the convention, but...
It was off convention grounds.
It was before the convention started. It was off convention grounds. I don't understand why they have to have... why they have to step into the middle of it. People are upset that the guy who did the attacking was still allowed to attend the convention, even though his behavior violates the convention terms. No, but read the convention terms. They're not saying that, you know, because they're saying assault is something that you can get banned for. Yeah, assault at the convention. They don't mean if you've ever been convicted of assault in your life, we're not going to let you in, because they're not doing background checks on everyone. Jesus. And this guy, at the time of the convention, had not been convicted of assault. I mean, like, it just got reported to police, like, a couple days afterwards, and he finally, I mean, like, it doesn't, but it, all that is beside the point. It's not Gen Con's responsibility to do anything about this dude. But they did issue a statement, whatever. The problem I have is that, like I say, I did my Google search 9 days after the incident, and in my Google search, I'm looking through the first page of results, and on the first page of results, every single link that talked about it was on the victim's side. All right? Which, okay, I get being on his side and saying, yeah, this was an unprovoked attack. That is ridiculous. He didn't deserve this. This is unfair. You know what? No matter what his political views are, this shouldn't have happened. Okay, great. I condemn that. I agree with that. All right? But none of them stopped there. If they had stopped there and said, yeah, nobody should get punched, you shouldn't have done this, this was wrong, if they had stopped there, it would have been fine. But no, every single result that I clicked on had to turn into, see, this is what the left is like. This is why they're so evil. They're the ones resorting to violence. We haven't done anything. It's, they turn it all into an us versus them sort of thing, and they take the extremists of one side and use them as an example for, see, that's how they all are, which is not true. And this was every result I clicked
on. That's how our fear of Muslims started.
This is that's how our fear of a lot of shit started. It's all the violence from the intolerant left has just begun in the gaming community.
The intolerant left.
Yes, the violent, that's how they refer to it, because they believe that the left is hypocritical because they preach tolerance, but they're not tolerant of our intolerance, therefore, see, they're hypocrites. They won't put up with our hate, so why should we have to, anyway.
Hating is wrong, even when you're hating hate.
And don't get me wrong, I am not condemning everyone on the right. I'm condemning everyone in the first page of search results on this topic.
Why don't you let it go to sleep instead of clicking every time?
Because then I can't pause it when I need to pause. Yeah, I know. Actually, I used to have it set so that it didn't go to sleep when the recording was going, but I must have lost that setting. I have to fix it now. Anyway, I'm not saying it's everybody on the right doing this, but I'm saying that's what the search results are. That's the way the conversation on the internet goes, is that the first page of web results on this, all of them, were not just defending this internet troll, but talking about how this is just, you know, one example of how horrible the left is. It all turned into very much right-wing propaganda. And in fact, I had to get to the second result from the bottom on the second page. I had to go through 20, 30, 40 results before I finally got to one that didn't use that same narrative. And instead, talked about, look, here's what this guy did, here's why he was a bad person, but then here's what this guy did, here's why he's a bad person. And it took, again, to the bottom of the second page to get that result. That's the part that made me sad. That's the part that I feel like, as someone who is mostly on the left of everything in political debates, I feel like common sense and liberal ideas are losing ground because we don't have this mastery of the media that the right does. By getting the base worked up, by getting this hateful rhetoric, this kind of constant bombardment of comment sections everywhere with this sort of talk. I mean, yes, both sides do it, but one side does it a lot more, and their presence on the internet drives a lot more search results than the people who disagree with them. And so when you do a search for a topic, a lot of political topics, any search that you do, if you're just doing a straight up Google search, your results are going to be heavily skewed towards one side of the board. And the left is just not as good at driving that stuff. The left does not have the same sort of propaganda machine in place. The left does not have, the left has just been outmaneuvered.
But the left doesn't want to have that kind of propaganda machine.
No, not a propaganda machine, but they have to have a response to it. Because, alright, this is getting off topic.
Isn't that kind of the whole point of this podcast?
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to Getting on Topic with Mike Jones.
Here's the thing, is that the right has several outlets that are allowed to simply be mouthpieces for the administration, and they are not checked. They are not stopped. They can say whatever they want to say and just get away with it. The left, on the other hand, doesn't have an equivalent. They have some outlets, but nothing on the level of Fox News and some of these others. Just nothing that even competes with that. And then when you get the stuff that's in the center, and it could be a little right of center, a little left of center, but mostly in the center, your MSNBC, your CNN, your stuff like this, they want to play this game of being fair and balanced. Oh my God, Fox News, that slogan, fair and balanced, by creating this idea that everything has to be balanced, that every time you talk about a story, you have to bring in panelists from both sides of it to, you automatically have set it up to, well, we brought in someone who agrees and someone who disagrees, and now you've immediately set up a situation where you're presenting it as these are two equally valid points of view because, well, we found one person who agrees, one who doesn't, we've set them on an equal stage, and let's go, rather than pointing out that, but yes, I know that this politician said this thing, but, oh, it's a blatant lie. And you can bring out somebody to defend that lie, but it's still a lie. And they're not quick enough at calling out lies for what they are, for calling out obvious distortions for what they are. They're getting better, but it's, all right. See, I've depressed myself now. I should have left uncomfortable topics for next week because, man, it's a tough thing. So, whichever side of the fence you're on, doesn't matter. Go vote. All right. I assume that most of my audience is left-leaning, but I also know that I have some who aren't. And I don't care what side you're on, go vote. Wherever you live, whatever you believe, go vote. Aiden, go vote.
Okay. I mean, now hold on. We live in Nebraska.
I don't care. I'm just saying that right now our current president is Donald Trump because you didn't vote.
What I'm saying right now is that in Nebraska, us as a people, our vote doesn't matter because our representatives are going to lean Republican no matter what.
Right. But we can put some pressure on. And if the vote, we have to vote. We have to vote. And it's more than just, it's more than just the vote for president. And we can go out there and we can have, even if I wish Nebraska had open primaries, because I'm thinking about registering Republican just so I can vote in the Nebraska primaries, because that's usually in Nebraska. That's where the actual election takes place. That's where the candidate is picked, is in the primary, because it's almost always going to be a Republican. It's just a matter of which Republican. And so therefore, man, if I registered Republican, I could actually vote on that stuff. And then, if you did that, then you could pick the one who is the least extreme. You could pick the one who is the least likely to drive the whole state over a cliff. I mean, anyway. There you go. That was my uncomfortable topics. I'm done. I'm done. We're moving on.
Actually, it doesn't always go Republican. It last voted Democrat in 1964.
See, there you go. Well, and we also had Ben Nelson for a long time. Ben Nelson's a Democrat. So, I mean, very moderate, almost conservative Democrat, but a Democrat nonetheless. So, anyway, you know what time it is? It's 10:59.
Oh.
No! It's time for the Pod-O-Matic! There you go.
That's the best one.
I know. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, we bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. And he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask?
Where do they come from?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. That's where you guys come in.
You can't run these things by me first.
Hear me, hey, on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Last week, Noah and I had a whole discussion about this, that when I say, where do these topics come from, you ask, he said, okay, from now on, I'll actually ask you. And I'm like, oh, that would be really good. I would like that. It would make it work a little better for me. And then he wasn't here, so I figured I'd wait until you figured it out. And you did. I mean, this was only like a second and a half.
Actually, your specific words were, I always hope someone would do that.
Oh, that's right. I did say that. So there we go. Now we've got it. Thank you for the correction, sir.
You're welcome.
Mike was wrong. Our first number is 27. And 27... comes from...
You're never ready, but also, there were several times in the Lost episode where I'm like, God, is this what it feels like when you have to scroll through questions? Oh my gosh, I am so sorry.
That's exactly right.
But now, I'm not on record saying it, so...
this is from Kyle, and Kyle says, I was playing what... God darn it.
I was playing 28Z.
Oh, man. That was the wrong button. You should turn the numlock on. There it is. Oh, thank God. Okay. I was playing Would You Rather with superpowers and my 9 and 10-year-old... I was playing Would You Rather with superpowers with my 9 and 10-year-old. There we go. I said to the 10-year-old, invisibility or the power to phase through anything?
Phase through anything.
He was confused by the latter, so I said, you know, you can walk through anything just like a ghost through it. And he said, this phasing... is it both physical and emotional?
Oh, my God.
And I said, you mean like a bad divorce? He said, yeah, like a bad divorce. So, so I pose it to you. Invisibility or phasing both physically and emotionally?
Phasing.
Let's go with phasing. I mean,
you walk up to your villain. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. Oh, God, that's an awesome story. Your kids are great. Well, some of them are. 33. 33 comes from Ronster. Hey, Ron. And Ron says, if your job required you to move to another state, let's say New Hampshire, would you or would you find another job and stay put? Is there a state in which you would refuse to work? Okay.
Alabama.
Because of my current situation, I have a good support system here in Nebraska. My wife has a very good job that provides us with free health insurance. My kids all go to school here. My son, Jacob, has moved out and is working in-state just a couple hours from us. I would not want to leave just because... well, I've got a life here, and moving somewhere else means moving somewhere without a support system and having my wife find another job and having a... So, no, I wouldn't go. which fortunately I work for the state of Nebraska, so it is unlikely that they will require me to move to another state. But, you know, things happen. Is there a state in which you would refuse to work? Look, there's states I wouldn't want to live in, like...
Well, I mean, I'm not legally allowed to set foot in Alabama, so...
Well, okay, but honestly, I mean, look, the entire busload was just asking for it. So
right! I don't think that I shouldn't have gotten what I got.
Well, it's alright.
But why would I ever want to be back in Alabama?
Right. Alabama. You know what? Don't work no more. Just leave it by the side of the road.
where's that from?
That's my impression of Alabama. I lived there for years. Well, not years. I lived there on two separate occasions for a year each time. But when I drive through Alabama, drive Alabama's highways, and just look, and it's just... It seems to have more abandoned cars, abandoned houses, abandoned structures, just falling apart by the side of the highway than any other place I've been. And it's not like you can't find abandoned farmhouses in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Alabama's got a lot of... Maybe it's just the way the kudzu grows over everything, and you've got vines and leaves, and maybe it just looks more jungle-like when the stuff falls in, but
speaking of abandoned places out here in Nebraska...
Yeah.
So, you know that, company that I applied to that helps people find employment?
Yeah.
I just got an email today about doing contract work, just demolishing old houses out in the country.
Really?
Which sounds like the most fun ever.
Right. It sounds kind of seasonal, but, but wow. How much fun would that be?
Just going out and taking a sledgehammer to some old rotted wood.
Yeah. Look, all right. To finish answering the question, though, states I wouldn't want to work in or wouldn't want to live in.
Florida.
Yeah, well, look, almost anything further south than, say, Kansas, it's just getting hot. God, I hate the heat. I mean, yeah, look, the bitter-ass 90-below winters aren't all that great either. But I'll take them over the heat anytime. I know I got all this family living down in Texas, but I don't know how you guys are handling it when it's 173 degrees in the shade down there.
God. All my exes live in Texas, so.
Yeah, and yet you're still allowed to freely come and go from Texas. I don't know. Eighty-three is from. Somebody. Ronster again. Hey, Ron. And Ron says, would you be willing to make a substantial sacrifice to have any of the following, and if so, which one? A statue erected in your honor? Face on a postage stamp? A college named after you? A Nobel Prize? Or a national holiday?
I'd go either the holiday or the college.
Right. But would you be willing to make a substantial sacrifice?
I'd throw my kid in a volcano for that.
You don't have a kid.
It's in a volcano.
A hypothetical volcano.
I made a wish to the volcano god that I wouldn't have a son anymore.
Okay, so, wow, I can't believe that one came true so fast. So, in general, no. No, I don't think I would, because almost all of this is for fame, fame and recognition, and I'm not interested at all. Part of me thinks that, okay, but if I got a Nobel Prize, or if I got, and it would have to be a Nobel Peace Prize, because, you know, what else am I going to do? I mean, I've been working on it, but I don't even think that's going to pan out now. But I'm thinking, okay, is there any of these...
Is there a Nobel Participation Prize?
Are there any of these that would turn into enough positive recognition that maybe it would just drive more people to my podcast and my website? And that maybe, you know, enough that I could generate a little money off of it, make some income, maybe be able to do this sort of stuff full time? Because if it would be the sort of thing that would allow me to quit working... And, you know, do game design and podcasting and just hobby stuff all the time, I would do that. But, you know, again, none of these things, these recognition fame things, none of these are worth it to me unless it is like a means towards a different end, a means towards a different sort of life that I would, mm-hmm. I would enjoy. So that's me. All right. And then, go ahead, try. Yeah, see? It's turned off. So, that is the end.
Mike, what? I get my one.
All right, you get your one. Okay, 36. I almost started the whole Potomatic spiel again. I don't know what happened. You went ahead and pushed the button, and I was like, hot dog! And I realized that...
And then we're in a perpetual loop.
Yeah. This one's from Kyle. And Kyle says, imagine that you wake up tomorrow and the entire continent of Australia is gone, but New Zealand remains. No one knows or will know why. What are the short and long-term consequences of this event? How does this affect future Mad Max movies?
We have deserts that aren't in Australia.
Wow. Okay. Here's what happens. Globally, climate-wise, other stuff, I don't think this affects anything. I think Australia is gone, and maybe some ocean patterns and weather patterns change slightly, but I don't think it's any big deal. I just don't see it being that much. But, it's gone, and no one knows why.
Or will know why.
Right. Look, the theories about government conspiracy, about aliens, about magic,
somehow religion, a shooter on a grassy knoll.
Yeah, God's retribution against the evil Australians. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, that stuff would go crazy. Because if you're saying we will never know what happened to it, that's a big enough mystery that the conspiracy theory network will just go nuts.
Fell off the edge of the flat Earth, of course.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, that's not... I think it would be bad. I think that would be a horrible ramifications from that. But that would be the main thing. I mean, ultimately, any economic effects, most of this stuff is just going to smooth itself out after, a decade or whatever. It would be hardest on poor New Zealand. Because I'm sure New Zealand and Australia are major trading partners. But, ultimately, all of that would just kind of work itself out. But the after effect, the cultural effect of an entire continent disappearing and able to figure out why.
Maybe the last great thing besides Mad Max that came out of Australia.
This is, Chris Hemsworth. But here's the thing. Is that, if we will never know why, what that means is it would give most of the world...
Is Chris Hemsworth Australian?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, in fact, all the Hemsworths are Australian. See? don't look at me like that. So, but it would give people of the world powerful reason to not put faith in science. Because if an entire continent disappears and science can't even begin to tell us what happened... We don't even have a good guess. It's just gone. Then suddenly it's time to, well, maybe there's a better alternative than science, which there isn't, but maybe there is. That would be the really hard part. Now, future Mad Max movies, they would become more awesome as Australia becomes more mythical. Because the conspiracy theories around Australia's disappearance, it just becomes a mythical land, and that will weave itself into the already kind of mythical Mad Max world. I mean, look at the last movie. Look at Fury Road. That was pretty amazing.
Are you going to tell me that Mad Max isn't a documentary of the Australian people?
Oh, no, it's pretty close. I mean, look, those weird Stiltwalker people, okay, that's completely made up, but the rest of it, all true. So, anyway... Now it's time to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week is Word of Mouth, Word of Mouth was Bread and Butter, as performed by Devo. Weezer's in the Garage, She Blinded Me with Science, as performed by William Shatner. That's it? We did like 15 segments and we only have 3 bumper songs? Weird. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is again a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me and Bicoastal Disorder. Awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and then write us a nice review, or write us a shitty review, but give it 5 stars, because that's all they really count anyway. That makes the difference. If you want to do something super nice for us, though, seriously, recommend it to your friends. Come on, you're enjoying it, so you want to spread the word, and you want to let other people enjoy it, because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. Oh, look, you can also, if you want, you can send me potential fake co-hosts to announce, sponsors for the podcast.
Tell us what we smell like.
Tell us what Nerd Pride smells like, or the newest edition. Tell me we're broadcasting from our home office in whatever exotic location you think is funny. All right, my contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to us, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up, you send me a message, we are going to hang out together. We are going to become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and I go out to Facebook and Aiden sends stuff out to our Platinum member list. And we tell you guys, hey, we are recording. Give us your feedback. Anything you guys say will be read off right here at the end of the podcast. That's what we're doing right now. So, first off on my forums, I posted up, hey, we're recording. Aiden's back. Ask us anything. Give us a topic. But also answer this. What's kept Aiden from being on the podcast for the last month? Kyle's response. Kyle says, Aiden's been gone for a month working as an awesome coach for Dwayne Johnson. Nice. All right. And then he also asks, have you ever watched one of those horror movies that was really bad and then in the last 15 minutes reveals that you've been tricked into watching Christian propaganda? This has happened to me a couple of times. Hilarious every time. Wow. No, that's never happened to me. You ever been tricked into watching Christian propaganda when you thought it was a horror movie?
No.
Wow.
But Junior, it's interesting.
What?
Dwayne is really self-conscious about his nose.
What?
Yeah. I was surprised, too.
Wow. Well, you helped him get through that, right?
Of course, of course. It's my job as his coach.
I mean, you must have succeeded, because otherwise you wouldn't be back yet. So, next is Phoebe, and Phoebe says, what about this whole business of Patrick Stewart reprising the Picard role? I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. Although, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, what, like on a series? Like as a regular feature? Or just like the way DeForest Kelly showed up in the first episode or was it first or second? Anyway, showed up in the beginning of Next Generation just to play Bones one last time before then retiring. Or like William Shatner showed up in the Generations movie, in order to kind of like pass the baton off to the next group of Star Trek. Or is it like Spock and Leonard Nimoy showing up as Spock everywhere? Like, Spock just kept coming back as much as humanly possible. Anytime they needed him, I'm sure I'll show up, whatever. That's great. Is it like those? Or is it like him actually playing Picard, as an actual ongoing role where he shows up every single week in whatever series. I don't know. But either way, look, I love Patrick Stewart, and he can do whatever he wants. I find the man super entertaining. I think he's great, charming, intelligent, just fun. And sure, I'll watch it. That's great. Okay, that's it for my forums, though. So let's head on out to Facebook and see what they had to say. All right, Facebook, uh-oh, this is not good. I don't see any responses yet. Do I need to do a refresh here? Yep, I suppose I do. I think we may be SOL on the Facebook listener betrayal. Let's find out. Fortunately, I think the Platinum members have done their job, so we should be okay on this one. But, boy, you know, I really should have just paused it or something, because I don't have anyone to help me with witty banter, because he's way too busy looking at Reddit.
I was sorting through listener betrayal.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
That's why you have pictures of porn on your phone? Is that...
The porn is unrelated.
it was actually a landscape, but okay, close enough. Let's see. Yeah, looking at your landscape porn again. Oh my god, you people are terrible. Look at this. Now recording episode 239, Say Anything. Also, the question I asked, what's the farthest you've ever been from where you are right now? And, comments? Nope. 20 people reached. No one responded. Oh well. So let's type done. Maybe some comments will magically appear. Nope. Not gonna happen. So, alright. Well, we're done there then. Although to answer my question, the farthest I've ever been from where I am right now, would be Korea.
Which one?
The one with all the picnic tables. I don't know what that means. South Korea, obviously. We were in Seoul. Went there for some shopping.
Wait.
What?
Wait. Did you happen to take a locomotive while you were there?
No, I did not. Did not get a chance to ride the Seoul train. But I do appreciate you so much. Okay, so that's all I've got. What do you got from the Platinum members? All
right, give me just a second. Why is Reddit open?
Yeah, now those of you who are jealous and would like to join the Platinum group, I mean, honestly...
Private message?
$15 a month is all it takes, people.
Private message Mike on the forums, and
that's right.
We'll see what we can do.
That's right, get to our Patreon, and again, subscribe at the Platinum level, and we will put you on the list.
I sent out, hey, me and my dad are finally recording. If you'd like to say something or have us read something, now is your chance. This week's question, how much?
Nice. Okay. I love that question.
All right. And first one's from Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Says, to the moon and back. Cool.
But it's true.
I didn't say how much what.
It's how much I love you.
Ugh.
I love you all the way to the moon and back.
The next response is from Katie.
Mm-hmm.
She responds with, how much, how much should I tolerate my family before I stop talking to them so they can drown in their own pool of intolerance and self-pity? To which my only response is, you good?
Nice.
Next one's from Tim. Hi, Tim. He says, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck joined a work union?
Nice.
Considerably less to lighten his workload is the answer.
Wow. Well, here...
Because it shouldn't be how much wood could a woodchuck chuck. It's how much wood should a woodchuck chuck without overworking himself.
Right. That's true. That's why the woodchucks are unionized.
All right, the next one is from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
She says, not enough.
Oh.
And yet too much.
Oh. See, and I was thinking it was just right.
Next one is from Kyle. Hi, Kyle. He responds with, in the missing episode, you texted me and asked if we collect anything. I'm going to cut it and paste it in my answer here. Make sure the cat's not around. Okay. thank you, because all I saw was your last text on my home screen, and just the first few words, so I had no idea what that was about, but now I do. He responds with, oh yeah, I collect children like Pokemon. I choose you, Gabe. See, I'm gonna tell you what I told you the other time, is, see, you can only have a team of six. So you need to let your children know which two are your least favorite.
Wow. Well, they'll figure it out because they're the ones that spend the most time in the Pokeball.
So. Actually, you can only have six Pokeballs on you. They would actually need to spend time electronically transferred somewhere else, not even near you. That's aww. The worst part.
Wow. Well, don't they have, like, some sort of Pokemon spa they all go to when they're not using them?
There's the Pokemon daycare where they'll level up without you, but no, otherwise they're stored electronically.
Wow. Okay. Although he says he chooses Gabe, but I think he's covering for something. I've been suspecting for a few days now. I don't get on Facebook very often anymore. But I've noticed that I think Kyle and Gabe have had some sort of falling out. Because I see pictures of Gabe. It's always Gabe with some girl. It's always Gabe, you know, whereas Kyle poses in pictures with his three oldest daughters all the time. Like, there are constantly pictures of Kyle with his three oldest girls. And yet, no pictures of him with Gabe. None. So I don't think he even likes Gabe anymore. I don't even know why he would say that. It's weird.
He did respond to this 3 weeks ago.
Doesn't matter. Look, dude, seriously. Maybe I'm way off base here. Maybe you and Gabe are still best clone buds like you've always been. If so, I just need some photographic proof of that. That's all I'm saying. All right? You know what to do. All right.
All right.
Got more?
The next response is from Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
She says, recording what? I've told you this several times, Amanda. It's a podcast. And her response is, oh.
Gosh darn it.
Thanks, Amanda. Jacob, my brother, responds with, all of it. That's how much.
Yes, all of it. Okay.
And that rounds out listener betrayal.
Nice. Okay. Well, then that's it. So, you know what, guys? It's been a long podcast, but hopefully you've had enough of Aiden to sate you all, and we should be good, right? This is it? Yeah. All right. You guys are awesome. Love you. Thank you for being here with us. Go listen to Bicoastal Disorder, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.